breaking down the big games and talking about the big names. You're listening to Sports Night on FM Talk 106.5.
Hello, hello. Welcome into another edition of Sports Night right here on FM Talk 106.5. Dalton Orwig and Corey LeBounty in with you, as we always are, on Monday nights at 7 o'clock. Got a big show planned tonight. Looking forward to talking to a couple guests who have big weeks ahead of them. Jim Nagy, the executive director of the Reese's Senior Bowl. We're going to have him on to talk about the NFL draft, which comes up and gets started on Thursday night live from Nashville, Tennessee, for the first time ever. And then a little later in the show, talk to a former Viger Wolf and Auburn Tigers linebacker, Deshaun Davis. We're going to join him, he's going to join us, talk about a, I'm sure, nerve-wracking week in his world, one of the biggest weeks of his entire life, as he looks to see whether he'll get drafted in the draft coming up later this week. Corey, good Monday afternoon.
Always a pleasure to join you, Dalton, and a lot of things going on and excited about tonight's show, talking NFL draft coming up this Thursday in Nashville. Of course, you have the NBA playoffs coming up and that are continuing on, so a lot of great things in sports.
Yeah, I hope everyone out there had a great Easter weekend. I know I did. Corey, did you get out and do anything this Easter weekend?
Just enjoyed church with my mom, had a little Easter dinner and enjoyed that, and I know you had a great weekend as well.
Yeah, made it down to the beach, went down to Gulf Shores, had lots of family in town, and took the baby, the now two-month-old baby, Isabella, got her feet in the sand for the first time in her life. The pictures didn't look like she liked it very much, but I promise that she did, and got some good pictures down there. Unfortunately, my family that I was with down there, Pittsburgh Penguins fans and Indiana Pacers fans, so a tough weekend for them as both the Penguins and Pacers get swept out of the playoffs, Penguins by the New York Islanders in the NHL playoffs, and of course the Pacers in the NBA by Boston. Hey, it looks like we got a phone call early. You can give a call to the show or text 251-343-0106, and because our phone screeners like to go to Waffle House instead of hang out and work on our show, we take them live right here from the board. So we'll go to this. We'll risk it. Who am I talking to? Ah, I knew it. They didn't want to go on the air. See? Phone screeners at Waffle House, that's what you get when you answer the phone.
Exactly.
251-343-0106. So, Corey, we'll start it off with some headlines, and you mentioned it earlier, the NBA and NHL playoffs full bore right now. Boston Celtics, the very first team to advance into the second round of the NBA playoffs. They finished a four-game sweep over Indiana, 110-106 win in Game 4 yesterday. Gordon Hayward led Boston with 20 points, and Indianapolis just not able to get it done without their best player, Victor Oladipo, who was knocked out, in January with that knee injury.
Yeah, it was a horrific knee injury, and want to wish him the best in his recovery because he's, without question, an all-NBA type player, Dalton, and it definitely made a difference. You know, the Pacers just did not have enough, but, you know, congratulations them for making it to the playoffs. Mm-hmm. You don't want to have that early entry, and you never want to get swept, but just like you mentioned, just not a good situation if you were from the old Hickory State this week.
That's right, and Boston, a team that, you know, for the last 2 years, they're one of those teams with the big three. Since they signed Gordon Hayward, had Kyrie Irving, you got Jason Tatum there, Brown, you got a bunch of really good guys on that team, but it's been a roller coaster for them ever since they signed these big guys. And this year just didn't look like they would have anything to get it done with in the playoffs, but it seems like they've put together a good run. Of course, it was just Indiana without their best player. We'll have to see in round two if Boston can keep that rolling, because it looks like they are likely to take on the Milwaukee Bucks, who are in action tonight. Milwaukee leads Detroit 3-0, could complete the sweep tonight. I think that gets started at 7 o'clock, so they should be tipping off right about now. But Giannis Antetokounmpo, maybe the best player in all of the NBA, and he's looked dominant so far. Eric Bledsoe, former Parker High School player and Kentucky Wildcat. Milwaukee Bucks kind of coming almost out of nowhere to lead the league this season.
Yeah, I mean, they have the best record in the NBA, looking at a record of 60-22 right now. Again, as you mentioned, trying to complete that sweep, going to do it on the road. And I know you're getting ready to mention the Houston and Utah series that's coming up tonight as well. Just a lot of sweeps going on in the first round of the playoffs.
Yeah, and pretty much polar opposite for the NBA from the NHL playoffs. Because you look at the opening series odds before anybody even played a game, there was only one NHL series where a favorite there was a favorite of more than -200, and that was Tampa Bay, who ended up getting swept in that series. The NHL just has so much more parity than the NBA. In the NBA, I think there was only one series that was even considerably a close one, and that was Denver-San Antonio before it got started. And you see where they are now, tied at 2 games apiece with Game 5 tomorrow night in Denver. Of course, the favorite to win all of the NBA playoffs, the same back-to-back champs from the last 2 years, Golden State Warriors, and it looks like they've kind of figured their game out after losing that Game 2 to the LA Clippers. Yesterday, beat LA 113-105, Durant with 33 points and Klay Thompson with 32. And did you see Klay Thompson after the game?
He got a watch off. I mean, just go jump in the Pacific Ocean. It always helps, you know.
He said that a dive in the Pacific Ocean ended up flipping his game around because he's been having some issues there. But Golden State, one win away from moving into the second round. You got Toronto up 3-1 over Orlando. They won 107-85 yesterday. Kawhi Leonard, 34 points in that one. So it looks like Toronto moving on in that series. Then you get to a really interesting series here. Portland beating Oklahoma City 111-98, and now Portland leads that series 3-1. What is going on with the Thunder? Is it about time to go ahead and blow them up? Russell Westbrook, a great individual player, he gets the triple doubles every single game, but it seems like no matter who's on his team, whether it's Kevin Durant, Paul George, you got the big Aussie down there in the middle, Allen, I think, no, whatever his name is, and Russell Westbrook just can't get it done, no matter the circumstances.
You know, Dalton, I look at a situation with OKC. Westbrook is by far your franchise player, and you want to keep him. And I don't think it's a situation with Billy Donovan having a problem as the head coach. I really don't. I think he used to be Billy the Kid. He's Billy the Vet now. Mm-hmm. I think he's an outstanding coach, and I you know, he's going to take a lot of heat if OKC gets pushed out of these playoffs losing 4-1. But what a redemption season for the Trailblazers as they get beat by the Pelicans a year ago and had to wait a year to the road to redemption and are doing so. Dale Osborne, a former South Alabama assistant coach and player, is on the coaching staff at Portland. He's the defensive-minded guy. He's the guru there. So congratulations to Portland playing so well. But going back to OKC, again, I just think that no matter who you surround Westbrook with, they're not going to be as good as that era when they had Harden and when they had Durant. You're just not going to see that tandem again. It's going to be hard for OKC to make it back to the NBA Finals, regardless of who you surround Westbrook with.
And I know Paul George, he's been dealing with that shoulder. He's been having injuries all year, but you wonder if he's maybe regretting re-signing with OKC. Was it last year that he was a free agent and Westbrook talked him into coming back to OKC when the talk before that was that George might be heading to the LA Lakers or one of these other big teams? But OKC now one loss away from being knocked out in the first round. Tell me who your favorite is. Is it still Golden State? I think that Houston in round two, getting them a little bit earlier in the season, a little bit earlier in the playoffs, while Harden is still fresh, because don't get it twisted. Harden is still carrying that team. But I think with them playing Golden State in the second round rather than the third round, that's my pick. I think Houston's going to be able to get it done this year and beat Golden State, especially with Boogie out.
Yeah, that's huge. I was going to mention, to me, that's the difference maker for the Golden State Warriors. But here's the thing. They won the NBA title without Boogie Cousins. And Bogut plays very good basketball as well, which is a key acquisition for them. And I think that's going to pay dividends. And the brain trust in management at Golden State is going to find a way, because, again, it's so hard to slow down when you have those four all-stars playing so well together. If you shut down Steph Curry, then turns around, you got to find a way to stop Klay Thompson. Then you have to find a way to stop Durant. And Draymond Green at any time can give you things. Iguodala is another one who's a veteran. He's an older veteran, but you keep him fresh and healthy, and he can do damage also.
So NBA playoffs moving along. You got the NFL draft coming up starting Thursday. Coming up right after this segment, we're going to talk with the executive director of the Reese's Senior Bowl, Jim Nagy. He's going to give us his take on the NFL draft. And a little bit later in the show, we'll talk with Deshaun Davis, the former Viger Wolf and Auburn Tiger, as he prepares to hopefully hear his name called later this week. A couple more items before we head to the break. Ben Watson, former tight end for the New Orleans Saints, who are retired at the end of the 2018 season, now says that he might not be retiring. He might be heading back to the league. His contract is up with the New Orleans Saints, so if he comes back, it doesn't have to be with New Orleans. But 38 years old, he said after his wife gives birth to their twins, he's going to see if he can find the right situation. And the former Alabama running back T.J. Yeldon, after his first 4 years of his career with the Jacksonville Jaguars, signed with the Buffalo Bills today. He's got a crowded backfield to work through. They've already signed Frank Gore and LeSean McCoy. So a couple updates there. Hopefully we can get to the NHL playoffs later in the show. But coming back on the other side right here on FM Talk 106.5, we'll talk with Reese's Senior Bowl Executive Director Jim Nagy. You don't want to miss it.
You're listening to FM Talk 106.5 Sports Night with Dalton Orwig and Corey LaBounty. Call the show or text your thoughts to 251-343-0106.
Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Sports Night. Dalton Orwig and Corey LaBounty in with you on a pre-NFL draft edition of Sports Night. And what better time to get this guy on the radio than now? Reese's Senior Bowl Executive Director Jim Nagy, who we've had on before to talk Senior Bowl. Now a lot of those same guys hoping to have their name called in Nashville on Thursday night. Jim, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Yeah, Dalton, hey, Corey, thanks for having me on tonight, guys.
Yeah, no problem. So first time the NFL draft is in Nashville, and probably the biggest night for most of these guys' entire lives, hoping to hear their names called. And there's already been all kind of drama, just like there is every year leading into this time of year. But I want to get to something that you tweeted just a few days ago, because I was going through the guide a few nights ago, and I saw on NFL Network the 2012 NFL draft was airing, and I thought, you know, maybe I should check in on the 2012 NFL draft. And I thought, no, I wonder who watches this. And I saw your Twitter feed, and you said you were rewatching the 2012 NFL draft. And I just got to say, I absolutely love that. It's very on brand for you to watch the Colts draft Andrew Luck again.
Yeah, it's kind of pathetic of me.
I said,
in my tweet, I said, there's something wrong with me. But, I was up in Bristol doing some ESPN stuff and trying to go to sleep one night, and that draft was on, and I ended up staying up for about 3 hours and watching it.
Who were you? Were you a scout at that time, and which team were you scouting with?
Yeah, I was with the Chiefs that draft.
Okay.
That was the draft we took Dontari Poe, who was made a couple Pro Bowls, was a really good player for us. He was one of those freaky guys at the combine. He ran 4.88 at 346 pounds. Bench pressed 225 44 times.
Man.
I mean, he was truly one of, like, the all-time combine freaks. So, yeah, and he was a really good player for the Chiefs for a number of years. And he's still in the league with the Panthers, but he's had some injury stuff that's taken a toll. But that was a good draft. We were going to take him or Luke Kuechly, who the Panthers took a couple picks before us.
Wow. Almost couldn't go wrong with either of those picks. Kuechly, just an insane NFL career so far. So before you started serving as the executive director down here, 18 years in the NFL as a scout, what is this final week like heading into the draft? What's it like from a scout standpoint and from the decision makers that are there in the front office?
It's a lot of fun, really, and that's the biggest thing. I really haven't missed the NFL too much since I've taken this job with the Reese's Senior Bowl, but I've kind of missed it this week. You know, it's the culmination of everything you do for the year, and there's just so much anticipation. You know you can make your team a lot better if you hit on those picks. So it's a lot of fun. You know, as a scout, you're calling all the guys in your area that you've scouted just to check in with them and really, you know, making a lot of recruiting calls to guys you think aren't going to get drafted. So you can, you know, get a leg up on the competition and hopefully sign them when the draft is over. So just a lot of activity and a lot of fun. I know there's 32 buildings right now that are having a blast.
I tell you what, Jim, round one, pick one is going to go to the Arizona Cardinals, and Cliff Kingsbury takes over as the new head coach of the Cardinals, and we know that he's a quarterback guy, and the Cardinals already have a pretty good quarterback, Josh Rosen, that they picked early in the draft last year, and he just haven't had a chance to really mature yet. But how does the draft get turned upside down if Kyler Murray does not go number one to the Cardinals, and what kind of position does that put the other teams behind them in?
Yeah, you got to be prepared, Corey. That's a good question. Tyler's going to go one. That's kind of what all the signs are pointing to right now. But you do have to be prepared in case they, you know, they hold on to Rosen and decide to go with a defensive player. And you just, you, I mean, that's what really, that's what the decision makers are going through in every building right now. The guys that will really be, you know, the general manager, the director of player personnel, they're going through all those scenarios, all the what if stuff, you know, and what if the Cardinals do this, and what does that mean for us, and going through different trade scenarios. So yeah, that if Kyler's not the number one pick, that could totally turn the draft on its ear for sure.
For Kyler Murray, it seems like he checks every box you want out of a quarterback except a couple, and that would be he only has one true year of experience at the college game level, even though that was a Heisman-winning year, and also his height. Do you think that the height issue is a bit overblown anymore?
Well, he owes a lot to guys like Russell Wilson and Drew Brees before him, and you know, now Baker Mayfield. So those guys have kind of knocked that door down for him. And yeah, I mean, he's a small guy. You know, it's like being in Seattle with Russell. Russell was short, but he was thick. He looked like a running back. You know, he's 220 pounds, and Kyler's 185 pounds. So they're just built differently. He's a smaller guy. And really the only reservation, one of the only reservations watching him on tape is, you know, only being a one-year starter, he's never really proven that he can be out there over a long period of time. And he played behind the best offensive line in college football this year. There was an award for that called the Joel Moore Award. And a lot of times they mess those awards up and give it to the wrong people, but they got it right this year. Oklahoma's offensive line was great. We had two other guys in the Senior Bowl. And so Kyler didn't get hit a lot. So, you know, if you're a general manager picking Kyler, that's got to be the doubt in the back of your mind is, can this guy play 16 games and get hit as much as he's going to get hit in the NFL? But other than that, no, he's a really dynamic player, really electric, and really unique. I've never done a quarterback like him. The guy I could most equate him to was Antoine Randle L. back in the early 2000s, who came out of Indiana and ended up, they moved him, the Steelers moved him to wideout right away, and he had a really long career as a good wide receiver in the league. But so Kyler is really a unique talent.
Jim, talk to us about the Senior Bowl players that came and secured their bag here in Mobile, Alabama during the practice week. I know you and your staff do an outstanding job of getting the premier players in the country to this game, but you have some guys that really, really probably made their bag a little bit fatter this past January in Mobile, Alabama. Tell us who you're looking forward to watching from a Senior Bowl standpoint in your point of mind.
Corey, I think a lot of guys did, really. We're excited about this class. I can't wait for draft weekend to be over so we can really stack our numbers against previous years. We really feel good about this year's class and who we brought down here. Like right now, again, some of these mock drafts don't mean a whole lot, but right now Mel Kiper's got 10 of our guys in his first round and Todd McShay's got 9 of our guys in his first round, which the Senior Bowl hasn't had those kind of numbers in a long, long time. So we're excited about this year's crew, and I think you could point to a number of guys. There was a receiver from Ohio State named Terry McLaurin who came down here. It's probably a fourth or fifth round pick and is now in that late conversation for the late first round. He had a great week down here. And then you could look at a lot of the offensive linemen who came down as probably second and third round picks that move their way up, like Garrett Bradbury, the center from North Carolina State, or Eric McCoy, the center from Texas A&M. Not like, you know, the offensive line, those big fellas, they don't get a lot of love, but, you know, they're not the sexiest picks, but they're really good players. And I think they all proved themselves down here in Mobile. And the great thing is we have such a good relationship with those kids now that, you know, they're going to help us recruit for next year's game. I've already reached out to a bunch of them. And, you know, if we're having trouble at a school next year getting a player, we can rely on those guys to help us because they know what a big deal coming to Mobile was for them.
You mentioned the mock drafts earlier. When you were a scout with the NFL teams, do you know how much – because I know most of the mock drafts, or at least the good ones, come from guys with really good sources inside the league, and even then they're right about half the time or less. Would – teams put together kind of their own mock draft with a little bit more inside information, or did they pay attention to any of the mock drafts out there to see how the draft might head maybe their way or the opposite of what they're looking for?
That's a good question. I think there's, I have heard of some teams doing their own type of mock draft. I personally never paid attention to it, just because it kind of clouds your judgment a little bit. I never paid attention to any of the outside stuff at all when I was a scout, just because you don't want it to like subconsciously leak in and change your evaluation. But I think what you do is these days leading up to the draft, it's, like I said, the hay's in the barn. There's a lot of downtime, so what you're doing is, I mean, everyone disperses and they'll all call their friends from around the league, and you really just try to get a feel for. You call the teams, like I've been doing this week, to try to get a feel for the quarterback. I've been calling all my friends with teams that don't need a quarterback, you know, so I'm not getting lied to. I know they're not trying to put out some smoke screen of guys they really like, but secretly don't want you to know that. That's what I've been doing, and that's what you do when you work for a team, and you split it up as a group, and you get back together, and you just have those conversations. Okay, what have you been hearing? You know, what are the Detroit Lions saying? What are your buddies with the Packers saying? So you try to get a feel for what the league's going to do, because, again, you need to evaluate the player, but you also need to know the draft, and you need to know where other teams have guys slotted, at least a ballpark idea, so you're not overdrafting them. So that's a really good question. It's more, you just really try to get a feel for where the league's at, more so where the media's at.
Well, one of those guys that would put out mock drafts every year, Mike Mayock, now back at the helm, GM of the Oakland Raiders. And there was a little bit of drama this last week with Raiders head coach John Gruden and Mayock reportedly telling the scouts to go home, Jim, and said don't come back until the draft. I guess they were worried about leaks through the press and out into the national media. You tweeted about that. You said you understand both sides because you've been on both sides. What's your take on this Raiders drama going into the draft?
It's really hard. It's a really difficult time when you've got a new regime coming in, and they don't, you know, they've never worked with the people. Like, Mike's never worked with that scouting staff before. And, you know, you've got to keep those decisions kind of close. You would ideally, like when I was in Seattle, everything was an open book. We were all in the meetings together. Everyone had access to the draft board. You could, you know, we had open, free-flowing conversations all the way till the time we were on the clock. But not every team is like that. So, you know, if Mike doesn't have a great feel for the guys in the room right now, and he really thinks he might want to do something that would catch the league off guard and have kind of a secret type pick, he doesn't know who to trust. So I understand Mike's part of it too. It'll just be interesting how many of those guys they retain. Excuse me, after the draft, I have a feeling they might. There might be a house cleaning there in Oakland. I always hate to see, because there's a lot of good scouts. I know a lot of those guys well. They're my friends. And, you know, you can be good at your job and you get caught up in a regime change and, you know, you end up out of work. So I hope that doesn't happen, but that looks where it might be headed in Oakland.
Well, I'll tell you what, Jim, again, what is it about the Southeastern Conference and the brand of football they play that allows them to be top-notch in the NFL draft every single year? I think for the last decade, the SEC has had more draft picks come from its conference than any other conference in the country, and you know we're passionate about our football down here in the South, but what is it about the SEC? Is it the great coaches and the preparation, or is it just the players who decide to come to these wonderful institutions to play football?
Yeah, it's probably a little bit of both. Yeah, the coaching is great. There's a lot of great coaches down here in the SEC and even, you know, some of the schools in the ACC as well. But I think there are certain positions that kind of make the schools in the Southeast a little differently. You know, all these kids want to stay home. They just don't grow defensive linemen anywhere else in the country like they do in the Southeast. So to get really good defensive linemen, you've got to come down here and get them. And what comes along with good defensive line play is physical football. So, you know, that's huge. And there's also a lot of good skill players down here. You know, you can go to other parts of the country to get quarterbacks and offensive linemen, but to get defensive linemen and corners and wide receivers, you can really regionalize it. I mean, there's some in Texas and some in California. But for the most part, a lot of those kids are going up down here in the Southeast, and I think those numbers, you know, bear it out on draft day. It's like you said, every year the Southeast Conference has the most players drafted.
Well, Jim, I really appreciate you coming on with us at Sports Night. I've got about a million questions. I could talk football with you all night long. You're just so informative, and you put it down there in layman's terms. We really appreciate you taking the time to talk with us tonight.
Yeah, guys, anytime. Love coming on, and you guys enjoy the draft.
We sure will. And it's in my birthplace of Nashville, Tennessee, so I wish I could make it up there. But I know they're going to have a good time there in Nashville. We appreciate it, Jim. Have a good one.
Thanks, Jim.
All right, guys. Thanks.
That's Jim Nagy, the Reese's Senior Bowl Executive Director. You can follow him on Twitter at JimNagy_SB. And Corey, just a font of information there. Love talking with him every chance we get. I think he might be the first, other than Randy Bergen, who was the first multiple-time person on Sports Night. Jim Nagy, second time joining us.
I mean, he just brings it, the information that we need, Dalton, gave it to us post-Senior Bowl and now gives it to us pre-draft, and has done a wonderful job on NFL Live, having an opportunity to see mm-hmm. him on ESPN NFL Live, just giving his knowledge, his hands-on experience with these players, with their agents, and just dealing with them, and the valuable information that he has gained as being a scout, Dalton. So it's going to be fun watching the NFL draft, and as he tweets about the players and how the Senior Bowl does as a whole, like he mentioned, look forward to seeing those wrap-up numbers also.
Yeah, I'll be following him for sure on Thursday night through Sunday, I guess, whenever they wrap it up. We got a couple tweets in here, a couple texts, and coming up in just a minute, we'll talk with Deshaun Davis, another guy from here in Mobile who played at the Senior Bowl in January, or was it February, played in the Senior Bowl earlier, and looking forward to talking to him in just a few minutes, get his take on what it's like to actually be a player heading into the NFL draft. But Corey, one of these texts that we received a few minutes ago, what about Nick Saban's surgery today? Do y'all know any updates? And as a matter of fact, we do. A tweet from Michael Casagrande earlier, the AL.com beat reporter for the Crimson Tide. He said, statement from Dr. Lyle Kane says that Nick Saban had a successful hip replacement. He's, quote, resting comfortably and hopes to get back to work soon. And I'm seeing that followed up right now by an ESPN.com article. So what'd they say? 6 to 8 weeks, maybe.
That's right. That's
take
right.
A little time off from the golf course. None of those pickup basketball games they normally have in the offseason.
Well, I mean, he's 67 years old, and I'm glad that it was successful. And I think that after he comes back, after those 8 weeks, his driving game may be a little bit better in golf than he loves to play as well. So, you know, you have to have that great hip action when you swing that golf club. So hopefully he'll be able to hit the ball a little further as well.
And a couple texts here. Daniel Pierce, he wants thoughts on the high school baseball playoffs. I'll set him up with that. We're going to talk about that on Saturday. That's right, Corey. Talk about that on Prep Sports Report.
Fully covered.
And Corey knows all about everything high school, and especially high school baseball this time of year. But something Daniel asked after that I can answer. He said the draft prospects for Damian Harris. Now, you're looking at maybe two of the top running backs in the entire draft coming out of Alabama. Josh Jacobs seems to be the top name on most of the mock drafts and most of those running back lists. And he's a guy who Josh Jacobs could go at the very end of round one, depending on if any teams are wanting to go running back early. It's looking like he's a late round one, early round two guy. But as far as Damian Harris, what I've seen is him late second round. I know Mel Kiper had him as a third round running back, but running backs just not as popular to go as high as they used to. You don't have any Ezekiel Elliotts or Saquon Barkleys in this draft. But Jacobs and Damian Harris certainly near the top of the list. Unfortunately, they probably won't get those five-year deals with the $6 million a year that you see some of the top running backs get. But hopefully they go to places where they can have good, long NFL careers. Speaking of guys that we want to have big, long NFL careers, talking with Deshaun Davis right after the break. This is Sports Night on FM Talk 106.5. Dalton Orwig and Corey Labounty in with you on a Monday night. You can follow me on Twitter at Dalton Orwig. Follow Corey at CA Labounty. And we're coming back right after this.
Breaking down the big games and talking about the big names. You're listening to Sports Night on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back. Sports Night on FM Talk 106.5. Dalton Orwig and Corey Labounty in with you. Just had a great conversation with the executive director of the Senior Bowl, Jim Nagy. He knows about all these players that are entering the draft. And one of those guys that he got to come on down to the Senior Bowl, a trip back home, Deshaun Davis, the Auburn linebacker. the first-team All-SEC linebacker and former Viger Wolf. And what a pleasure to be joined by Deshaun Davis tonight. I know you can follow him on Twitter at @_Davis_boy12. Deshaun, thanks for joining us tonight.
No problem. Thanks for having me, man. It's a blessing to be here.
So I know you got a lot of fans down here in Mobile, and you had a huge crowd out there for you during the Senior Bowl earlier this year. And I've been following you on Twitter for a little while. I saw someone tweeted out a video of you training for the NFL, for the draft coming up, and you retweeted it. What's been your timeline since the Senior Bowl and the Combine?
I mean, I've been kind of busy, man. A lot of things have been going on. It just seems like the days don't have 24 hours in them anymore. It's more like 12 now because I'm always on the move and I'm always on the go. But, I mean, like I said, I've just been doing a lot of training, man, just trying to stay in shape, staying active, trying to fix the things that I need to correct in my game to be who I need to be at the next level. And I know right after the draft, you know, we're going right into rookie mini camp, and I want to be in the best shape that I can possibly be in to be able to perform how I want to perform there. So, like I say, I've just been working out, man, just, staying in shape, staying on top of my craft, you know, in the film room, trying to see what things I need to do to get better, you know, to be in a better position to be successful at the next level. And other than that, man, I've just been chilling.
I think that's one of the things that has elevated you to the success that you've had, because coming out of high school, people sometimes forget that you missed your senior season with a torn ACL. And I know that AL.com has done a Road to the Pros series, a three-part documentary chronicling your childhood career up to your playing days at Auburn leading up to the professional draft that's going to be this Thursday through Saturday. But Deshaun, when people said that you were too small, when you got discouraged about maybe your playing time or your lack of playing time, because your knowledge has always been there, your skill set has always been there, you can't replace the type of heart that you have and you've demonstrated not only in high school but at the collegiate level in Auburn. When you look and you, what inspirational words do you have for those who are listening to say that you're too small to play the game, that you can't do anything, or that you won't be able to succeed not only in the classroom but in life?
I use it all for motivation, man. I'm the type of guy I've already have enough enough fuel on my fire. So, you know, those sticks and stones that you throw at me, it just becomes, you know, more fuel. And I use it to prove people wrong, you know. But no matter what profession you're in, you know, whether it's football, whether it's basketball, broadcasting, a dentist, a lawyer, whatever the case may be, someone is always going to have something negative to say. And it's your job to either channel it into the right direction or to tune it out. And I've always been one of those guys to channel it into the right direction and use it for motivation. You know, I've never been that type of guy to feel sorry for myself or say, well, they say I can't do this or I'm not this. And I never let anyone else change my opinion of myself. You know, I know what type of player I am. I know what type of person I am. I know what type of leader I am. And all those things I try each and every day to find a way to get better at. And, you know, the negative comments, the negative thoughts, they're not going to stop now. You know, I'm hearing a lot of the same stuff I've already heard, you know, in my playing career. You know, he's too small, or he's too slow, and he's too this and too that. And my position coach, Travis Williams, told me in college, you got to be the king of the twos. So they said I was too small in high school. I played 2 years of high school football. I was two-time All-State. Well, some college coaches said I was too small. I played in the toughest conference in college. And I was a first-team All-SEC player, second-team All-American, and all these type of things, and won many awards. And now I'm hearing the same thing. So, I got to say, man, I know my why. I know my purpose. I know what drives me. And anything negative that comes my way, man, it's just always going to be – I'm always challenging to make the positive.
Wise words. And, you know, the NFL and really college, it's a media business now too, so you have a lot of people, like you just said, kind of running their mouth, and maybe they don't know what you've been through, or they're just trying to get the clicks. And this is one of those weeks where there are a lot of mouthpieces out there talking a lot. What's your plan for this week? I know round one starts on Thursday night. You got the draft all the way through the weekend. Some guys, they like to just go about their business. They don't even turn the TV on and wait for that call from their agent or from the team. Or are you going to check out the draft and have it on TV?
Oh, yeah, I'm definitely going to watch it. I mean, majority is because I am a fan of the game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't just play the game. You know, I love the game of football. So I want to see, you know, who goes where. I want to see what they're saying about the guys who are drafted, you know, what they like about them, what are the concerns about them, and all those types of things. I plan on having a get-together with my family this Saturday coming up. That's majority. More than likely, when my name is going to get called, I've been hearing a lot of fourth, fifth round buzz. I'm going to watch the draft, but it's a lot of times, man. Like you say, with the social media world, you see people who have a voice because of social media, and half the time, those people don't even know what they're talking about. So they got a few followers and they feel important or whatever the case may be. But if you just listen to how some of those people talk about the game of football, man, it really just makes you laugh. You know, even when they're talking about myself or they're talking about other players, and they're just typing stuff. They're at home bored and just typing stuff, trying to get retweets, like you say. But I mean, like I said, of course I'm a fan of the game, so I want to see who goes where, you know, why they go there. And I know there's going to be some linebackers chosen before me. And sadly for the NFL coming up, because that's just going to be more fuel on the fire. I feel like I'm a passionate player already, so I don't think I need any motivation, but they're going to give it to me.
You do play with a lot of passion, Deshaun. You did at Vigor. You continued that at Auburn. But let's go to your Auburn career for a moment, and then we'll jump what it meant to play in the Reese's Senior Bowl in your own backyard. But you go to your career at Auburn. What moment sticks out to you the most at Auburn, and what will you remember the most about putting on that Auburn jersey?
Man, it's just that family, man. It's something that I definitely miss. You know, just being in front of 90,000 every Saturday, and they're all cheering your name. You know, they all want to see you succeed. And walking down Tiger Walk, and all the fans, they just want to touch your hand, and they want to just take selfies with you as quick as they can, so they don't slow the line up. And you know, just seeing the eagle fly around, man, all those unmatched college traditions that made Auburn such a special place is what I'm really going to miss. Like I said, just the being around my teammates is nothing like it. You know, I built a relationship with those guys that are going to last a lifetime, and I'm gone now, but I still have, we're in group messages. You know, we mess with each other on social media and we joke around, but those are relationships that'll never end. It'll never go anywhere. But just putting that orange and blue on every Saturday, man, I tell you, every time I see it, when I come in the locker room, I get chills, and I used to think that it'll sometimes go away, you know, and as much as I put it on more and more and more, but I found myself, you know, toward the latter part of my career, even getting more excited because I knew it was kind of winding down and the time was winding down. So I knew I went out my senior year how I wanted to. I made a lot of plays. I feel like I was a definite leader for my team. I feel like I laid the foundation for what I feel like the Auburn linebacker should be like, just off the past foundation that a lot of people have laid before me. And I try to get that foundation back solid as possible. And I know the guys behind me are going to take it and do the same.
What did it mean to play in the Senior Bowl? And you had an opportunity, you talked about Auburn's tradition, to go to Toomer's Corner and roll the trees after Auburn's basketball team made their tremendous run. Tell us about those two adventures for you.
I mean, the Senior Bowl, first off, the Senior Bowl, man, it's a prestigious event. No, that's almost the college all-star game. So, yeah, I had an NBA all-star and the Pro Bowl for NFL. That's kind of all Pro Bowl. And, just me being a hometown kid, man, it meant so much to me to just come home and essentially finish my career while I started it. You know, in front of my family, in front of my friends, you know, all in one stadium, Ladd People Stadium, which I played in numerous amount of times in high school. And just, you know, after just flying around, having fun, you know, playing the game that I love, I got a lot of fan support. I got a lot of family support, you know, that entire week, not even just on game, but just that entire week, just because they knew what it meant for a guy from Mobile to come home and be able to play in that game. So I definitely enjoyed that. But going to the basketball team, man, I'm kind of still upset they went out how they went out. They got robbed, you know. But I can tell you, those guys gave Auburn campus the life that they needed. It was the first time that they went to the Final Four, first time they won a championship, SEC championship, and God knows how long, and the entire campus was behind them. You know, it wasn't just the basketball fans, or it wasn't just the family of the basketball team. The entire campus really was behind those guys. And to see that after every win, how people just rushed to them, was corner the road of trees, and they were so excited. And I even went out there a couple of times, as you mentioned, because, you know, during the football season, I wasn't able to do it because I was doing media. And by the time I got done with media and went to Toomey's Corner, everyone was leaving. So I got to experience that for the first time, you know, in a while, mm-hmm. since I was a recruit. And it's something special, man. And I'm glad those guys even gave me that experience, like I said, because I wasn't able to experience it. But that's something that I'll never forget. That's a moment that I'll never forget.
That's some good stuff. And Deshaun, we really, really appreciate you joining us on Sports Night tonight. Good luck to you this weekend with the NFL draft getting started in Nashville. We hope you end up at a good spot for you. We've enjoyed watching you grow up as a Viger Wolf into an Auburn Tiger. And wherever you end up now in the NFL, we'll look forward to seeing you progress from there.
Thank you. Thank you. I hope you guys have a good night also.
All Thanks, right. Deshaun. Appreciate it.
Deshaun all Davis, right, the leading Auburn Tiger tackler his senior year, first team all SEC, now heading to the NFL, and awesome to get him on Sports Night here on FM Talk 106.5. Hopefully we'll be able to talk with him after he's drafted and heading into the season. All kinds of great stuff happening there, Corey.
Without question. I mean, he's just an outstanding ambassador, not only for Viger High School, but for Auburn University. He's earned everything that's in front of him. He's worked through injuries. He's shown people that he'll play through any type of pain, and his pain and perseverance, hopefully when he hears his name called, it'll be unlike anything he's ever experienced in his life.
And you can follow him again on Twitter at @_Davis_boy12. That's Deshaun Davis from the Auburn Tigers and from right here, Pritchard, Alabama. All right, coming back, we'll wrap up Sports Night on this Monday night. Got some more draft stuff to get to before we head out. Even some props, and one, Corey, that I've got to get your answer to, the number of Alabama players that will be drafted in the first round on this weekend, or actually on Thursday night. So we'll get to that when we come back. This is Sports Night, FM Talk 106.5. Dalton Orwig and Corey Labounty in with you on this Monday.
You're listening to Sports Night on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Sports Night, wrapping it up on this Monday night. Thank you, Jim Nagy, Executive Director of the Senior Bowl, for joining us to talk the draft. Also, Deshaun Davis, as he looks to get his name called this weekend. I want to talk to you about the American Softball Association. You might remember we talked with Auburn Donaldson just a couple months ago. They're heading into their second season here, and just believe it or not, the best professional softball association in all of America, and it's right here in our backyard. I talked with Auburn just last week. We had a big, long talk about his plans and what they've got going on, and I am excited about the ASBA, but currently looking for host families. And I thought I would share this information because I know there's a lot of you out there with kids. I know I've got a now 2-month-old daughter, and Lord knows I'm hoping that she finds a sport that she falls in love with, and I will be so happy if she is a softball player. But I know lots of young women and girls out there that love playing softball, and this is a great opportunity for you if you have one of them in your house, because they're looking for host families for the American Softball Association, their second league going in here. It's a 6-week-long season, so it's not very long. It starts in mid-June, so you'll have them from mid-June till about mid-July. And if you've got a softball player in your home and you want to get a mentor in there to help teach your softball player, help mentor your softball player, why not become a host family? It's 6 weeks. You don't have to. All you need is a private bedroom and a bureau or a closet to help house them. You don't have to feed the players. You don't have to transport them anyway or in any way finance the players. Just give them a place to put their head at night when they're resting after those long practices and long games. So the ASBA looking for host families, or, you know, even if you don't have a kid at home that you want to have taught softball or mentor, if you just got some of that Southern hospitality and you want to show these players what it's like to have a caring family down here, you can find out more, asbasoftball.com. And looking forward to this season. Like I said, starts mid-June. They've got the draft at Moe's Barbecue on June 5th, so we'll certainly have more information on the top women's professional softball league in the USA right here in our own backyard. All right, Corey, we've talked about the draft a lot already in this show. And I've been looking at some of these prop bets because, you know, you can make a bet basically on anything. Like the Super Bowl, you have 100, 200 prop bets, whether it's going to be heads or tails, how many passing yards Tom Brady's going to have, although you can do that in just about every NFL game now. But I saw this one, and it really interested me. I want to get your take. Alabama players selected in round one on Thursday night, they set the over-under at 3.5 players, with the under favored quite a bit, minus 180. So you'd have to bet $180 to win 100 if you wanted to bet under 3.5 players. What are you feeling on that? 3.5 Alabama players first round.
First round, I'm going to go under. I'm going to go under for that particular prop bet, without question.
I'm right there with you. You got Quinnen Williams. He'll for sure be in the top three, definitely top five.
Yes.
Maybe not top three if there's depending a run on quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. My favorite quote about Quinnen Williams came from his own counterpart on the offensive line, Jonah Williams, said it's like blocking a 300-pound bar of soap. And it seems to be what a lot of the scouts and a lot of the people that have watched all of his tape, he's so quick. He put on so much weight for, 20 pounds for his senior year? He's got the Taekwondo hands, redshirt junior. He's so quick with his hands and so slippery. He's going to be dominant in the NFL for a long time. The question right now is whether he or Bosa will go first. There can always be that run of quarterbacks, though. So you got Quinnen Williams looking like a top 10 pick. Jonah Williams, for sure top 20, maybe a top 10 pick. Josh Jacobs is where it kind of starts to get interesting. I've seen 25.5 over-under for him. He might go late in the first round. And then Irv Smith Jr., Mel Kiper, had a first-round draft grade on Irv Smith Jr., the tight end. So those would be the four guys. And then if somebody gets happy with him, Mack Wilson could end up there. So I'm right there with you, probably sitting at under 3.5 players. I think Quinnen, Jonah, and Irv Smith will go, and I think Josh Jacobs will go in the second round. As far as Auburn, Jamel Dean, they don't have near as many players entering the draft, which is good for them, because they're going to have a lot of players with experience playing in the senior and junior years this season out at Auburn. But you got Jamel Dean looking like a third-round player, Darius Slayton, Jared Stidham in third or fourth rounds, Dontavius Russell, and that guy we just talked to, Deshaun Davis, hoping to hear his name called on Friday or Saturday. That does it. Another edition of Sports Night on FM Talk 106.5. Make sure you catch the podcast, fmtalk1065.com. Follow me on Twitter, @DaltonOrwig, and Corey Labounty, @CALabounty. See y'all next week.